blessing to be with you today. I appreciate all the good music. Appreciate all the good fellowship we've had so far. I appreciate your encouragement. It's been tremendous. What a great group on a Sunday morning.
Here in Mobile, I appreciate the opportunity. I want to say thank you to the pastor. I know he's not here, but it's a special thing, and I don't take it lightly that he's allowed me to come present and preach in his pulpit when he's not here. And that's a real blessing, and I do want to say thank you to him for that. And thank you for all your hospitality, all your kindness. Again, my name is Aaron Pack, and this is my wife, Christina. Wait, if you can raise your hand over here. My wife, Christina, and my daughter, Alice, right over there. She's 3 years old, and we have a little one on the way. We're excited about that. Should be, God willing, will be due in sometime in May. Is that correct? Sometime around May. That's a blessing. And so we're excited about all that God is doing in our lives. And as Brother Newport said a little bit ago, we're starting Lighthouse Baptist Church in Hartford, Alabama, 1 week from today. So we are right on the threshold. And it's exciting to see another independent Baptist church established in a county, in an area where there is no independent Baptist church. There's a great open door and a great need there. And even across the border, where it's on the south side, southeast corner of Alabama, but even across the border into Florida, there's no independent Baptist church in Holmes County, Florida either. There's a great open door and a great need to plant this church, and God is doing some amazing things. So I'll tell you just a little bit about it, then we'll get right into the Word of God. But God has given us a building to meet in. It's an 1,800 square foot facility, and God's given it to us for $350 a month rent, which is just tremendous. You know, most places you can't rent an apartment, a little apartment, for even close to that. And so it's a commercial building. Great location. It was kind of a rough condition, but we've stripped the whole entire thing out, the whole inside out, and remodeled it, made it a nice meeting place. And if we turn around and buy it, which we plan to, and we hope to, the owner is going to take everything we put into it off the price of the rent, or excuse me, off the price of the sale. And so that's tremendous. And so we'll be able to take several thousand dollars off of the sale price if we go forward with that in the future. God's given us, in addition to that, He's given us three families who've committed to be a part of Lighthouse Baptist Church, in addition to ourselves. So it'll be a total of four there starting out with us, and it's amazing. I wish I had time to tell you about it, and tell you another time maybe, about how God's put us together with these families. And God's given us a lot of great contacts in the communities. It's a small rural area. There's 17,000 people within a 15-minute drive, but they're all spread out in little towns, little cities, on back roads, things like that. But from the first Saturday that we went out distributing John and Romans, just about everybody in the county knew about the new church starting in Hartford. We'd go to these little, small, out-of-the-way towns, 15, 20, 30 minutes down the road, and they'd say, oh, this is about this new church we've heard about this starting. Or they'd say, oh, you're the church that just put in the gravel parking lot over there. You know, they knew exactly where we were, exactly who we were, who we are, and that kind of thing, at least to some degree. And it's great. We have free publicity in a little community like that. So it's a blessing. Well, God's doing some great things. Pray for us as we establish Lighthouse Baptist Church in Hartford there. Now, we have some prayer cards on the back table, a little information there, an email sign-up list. If you want to get our monthly updates, go back, put your name down, put your email address. You'll get those every month as we send those out. You'll be able to follow the progress. And again, I appreciate so much the opportunity to be here. Let's go to the book of Ezekiel this morning. Ezekiel chapter number 16. Excuse me. Ezekiel chapter number 16, we'll begin reading in verse number 1 in just a moment. Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse number 1, we'll pray before we begin reading and ask God to speak to our hearts and stir us as we consider this passage and show us how we can be more involved in the work of God, and show us a little picture maybe of our own selves this morning, a little picture of the lost world today, a picture of where we have come from. Just a simple message this morning, Ezekiel chapter 16. We'll begin reading in verse number 1 after we pray. Let's pray together this morning. Father, thank you again for the Word of God. Thank you for the work of God. And thank you for the Spirit of God that can empower us to do it, Lord. For without Thee, we can do nothing. Lord, we are but sinful people, but we thank You that You have saved us by Thy grace. And Lord, we thank You for the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And I pray this morning that You would feed this flock, and I pray that You would use me to do so. Feed me today, Lord. I need to hear from Thee. I need to be strengthened. Use me, Lord. May I be a clean vessel in Thy hand. Cleanse and empty me of all sin, that I may be a clean vessel through which You can flow this morning and do Your work in hearts, in Jesus' name. Amen. Ezekiel chapter 16, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations. And say, thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother an Hittite. And as for thy nativity, in the day thou wast born, thy navel was not cut. Neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee. But thou wast cast out in the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. When I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Now let me go through this text. Let's go through it together, rather, and let's consider what's going on here in this passage of Scripture. And let's consider there's a picture here for us. We'll look at that in just a moment. What's going on here? Look at verse number 3 again. This saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, so thy birth and of thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. So he's giving us a picture here. It's the picture of the birth of a little baby girl. You read on in the text here in Ezekiel chapter 16, you'll find out it's a little girl. It talks about that very plainly in the verses following. But it says, it's talking about the birth of a baby girl. And it's a picture for us here, as we'll find out. It says, thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Of course, Canaan is the promised land, but that by that name of Canaan, we understand it's talking about the place where the Canaanites dwelled. And you look in the Old Testament text, God gave that land to the children of Israel, and God commanded His people to go in and what? Destroy the wicked people of that land. They were doing wickedly and abominably. They were sacrificing their children to false gods and doing all manner of wickedness. And it was a land of evil, a land of sin. And it goes on to say, thy father was an Amorite and thy mother an Hittite. Those are two people groups you read in the Scriptures, two wicked people groups that God commanded His children to wipe out when they entered into the promised land, two of seven different people groups. And so we're talking about an ungodly father and an ungodly mother here. In verse number 4, it says, and as for thy nativity, dealing with the day and the time that this little baby was born, as for thy nativity and the day that thou wast born, thy navel was not cut. Think about it. I remember when Alice was born, just a little bit more than 3 years ago, they took her out, and she was born, and the first thing that happened was they made sure she was breathing. So when she was breathing okay, they bundled her in a towel and cleaned her up a little bit, and then the very next thing is they cut the what? Umbilical cord. Her navel is attached to the navel or the belly button. But it says for this little girl, it says in the day that thou wast born, thy navel was not cut. It says, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Alice was interesting when she was born. She did not cry, did not make hardly a noise until they put her under that cold water in the sink to wash her up. I remember that. And then she let loose pretty loud. but I remember that plainly. But it says that's just a common practice when a baby is born. They comes out and the baby is born, and then they wash the baby. They clean the baby up real good. But it says for this little girl, they didn't cut her umbilical cord. Thy navel was not cut. Neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Now the idea, of course, if you're familiar with a baby being born, there's fluids on them, there's things on them, there's blood on them, there's things that need to be washed off and cleaned up. Otherwise, when it hardens, it will begin to restrict the baby's movement. It says, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. That word supple means to be pliable or to be bendable. So they're saying they didn't clean her up, and so she was beginning, if you can imagine, this newborn baby struggling to even be able to move her arms and her legs. And it says there in verse number 4, thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee. Excuse me, to have compassion upon thee. But thou wast cast out in the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. Get the picture here today. If you'll follow the passage of Scripture, God's showing us a picture of this little girl born, and born to a mother and father, a biological mother and father here. And it says, none I pitied them. They had no compassion upon their child to clean the baby up, or nor to even keep the baby, nor to even give the baby to a mom who wanted the baby. It says they loathed her, they despised this little girl, and she was cast out in the open field. It didn't say she was tenderly set in the dirt and left to die. She was cast out implying almost just chucked her over in the ditch, left her for dead. She was cast out in the open field to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. What a terrible passage or a terrible picture we have in our minds. But we're going somewhere with this. I believe the picture here for us today, I don't want you to miss it, and I think God wants to show us very plainly that this little girl is a picture of you and I before we were saved. She's a picture of those who are outside of these walls, or maybe there's someone in here inside of these walls that has never been born again. Those who are lost and without Christ. This little girl is a picture of the sinner. A picture of a sinner without hope and without God. Number one, she's a picture of the sinner because she was helpless. Think about this for a moment. She was helpless. This little girl cast out in the open field, newborn babe, not cleaned up, not wrapped in a blanket, not given any nourishment. This little babe was absolutely helpless. She could do nothing but cry. She couldn't get up and walk. She couldn't defend herself from predators. She couldn't get under the shade to get out of the sun that would smite her. She was absolutely helpless. And I will tell you what, as you and I as sinners today, if we are lost or before we got saved, if you're here today and you're not saved, you're absolutely helpless before God to save yourself. Consider this. Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 2 tells us that our iniquities have separated between you and your God. Between us and our God, we are separated from God as sinners. Consider Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 1. It says, the Bible says that we are dead in trespasses and sins. That is us in our lost condition, those who have never trusted Christ as their Savior, they're separated from God, they're dead in trespasses and sins. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12 says this, that we were without hope and without God in this world. Think about that. Is that not a picture of this little, or the picture that this little girl is showing to us? She was without any hope. Her mother and father left her for dead. She was without any hope and without God in this world. That's the situation of the lost here today. The lost in this world. They were separated from God, dead in trespasses and sins, without hope and without God in this world. Turn with me quickly to John chapter 3. I'll show you this verse, holding your spot in Ezekiel chapter 16. John chapter number 3, we'll look at verse 18. John chapter number 3 and verse 18. This little girl is separated from God. She's dead in trespasses and sins. She is without hope and without God in this world, just like every sinner. And here in John chapter 3 and verse 18, we'll see that she was condemned already. See, as a lost sinner, we're not waiting for our works to be weighed in the balances and to be found wanting. No, the judgment has already been given because of our sin, and that is that we are condemned already. Look at John chapter 3. And verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth on Christ, those who are saved, those who are born again. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So this little girl is a picture of the sinner, number one, because she is helpless. And again, so you and I, we are absolutely helpless. We cannot save ourselves from our sins. We have sinned. We are undone. Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 6, and verse number 3, woe is me, for I am undone, he said. Woe is me, for I am undone. As a sinners, we are helpless. But number two, this little girl, she was dying. She was dying. She's a picture of the sinner. Because she was dying. Back in Ezekiel chapter number 16 now. Of course, we understand this little girl, again, left for dead, cast out. She was helpless. No one to help her. No one to get her out of the burning sun. No one to give her water. No one to give her nourishment. No one to save her from the wild beast or the vultures. She was absolutely helpless, and she was without a doubt perishing. And that's the situation. You look at this lost and dying world here today. I think about before I came to know Christ as my Savior and my situation, absolutely helpless to save myself, and I indeed dying. Hebrews chapter number 9, verse 27 says, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. We all have an appointment with death, folks. It's so important to have things right with God before we die. But believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. So she was dying. Listen to these verses. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, a familiar verse to most. It says, for the wages of sin is what? Is death. Because of our sin, we owe a debt to God that can only be paid through death. And if we reject the gift of Christ, the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, if we reject the free gift of salvation that He has purchased for us through His death, through His substitutionary death, then the only other option is for us to be separated from God forever in the lake of fire. We also, we call it hell, being separated from God. The wages of sin is death. I want to encourage you here today, consider your situation, young people. I was 16 years old when I came to know Christ as my Savior. I lived without God, without hope in this world. I was in this situation as this little girl till I was 16 years old. I want to encourage the young people and old alike. Maybe there's someone here today and you're not saved. Let God search your heart today. Be honest with the Holy Spirit of God today. Be honest with the Holy before the Holy Book of God and agree with God and repent of your sins today and turn to Christ. She was dying, and then we understand the wages of sin is death. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12 tells us that in Adam's sin, death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Death comes and affects every one of us because we are sinners. So this little girl, she was helpless. Number two, she was dying. All pictures of the sinner. Number three, look back with me here in Ezekiel chapter 16. Notice this, she's also a picture of the sinner because she was in her own blood. Look at Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse number 6. Ezekiel 16 and verse number 6, and the Bible said, "And when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live." So this man passes by, we'll talk about in just a moment, and he sees this little girl polluted in her own blood. Polluted in her own blood. She's in her own blood. Say, how is this a picture of the sinner? Well, consider these verses. Like Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. Ye who were dead in trespasses and sins. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18 tells us we are in our own sins. It says, Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." We are stained with the blood red, with a blood red stain of sin. She is in her own blood, just as it says here. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 17 makes this statement. So it tells us that if Christ is not risen, of course He is risen from the dead, but it says if Christ is not risen, we are yet in our sins. It uses that phrase. John chapter number 8 and verse 24, Jesus uses that phrase. If you believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sin. I'll tell you today, I want to encourage you, believe the Word of God here. And if you have not trusted Christ as your Savior, you're in your sins. And Jesus said it plainly, if you die in your sins, if you believe not that I am He, you shall die in your sins. That means you will die. That means you'll die without your sins forgiven. You'll die and go to hell. So this little girl is plainly a picture of the sinner. She was helpless. And she was dying, and she was in her own blood, just as the sinner. But I want to show you this. I see another picture here this morning. Look at verse 16 again. I see a picture of a man. It says, "And when I passed by thee," this is the man narrating the passage, of course, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. We understand that. But it says, "And when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood," she saw this little girl helpless. He saw her dying, and he saw her polluted in her own blood. Again, this little girl, a picture of the sinner. "I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live." Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. I want to show you that this man in this passage is another picture. It's a picture of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. Why do we say that? He saw this little girl sin sick and helpless, so to speak. And he saw her dying. He saw her perishing, just as the Lord Jesus looked down on this world and he saw the lost and dying world without hope of salvation, without any means of saving themselves, without any hope of being saved from the perils of hell. And the Bible says in Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." This man is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, because look what he says here. He says he saw this little girl polluted in her own blood, and he says one word, and he says it twice, and he says the word live. He says again there at the end of verse 16, live. I encourage you that the Lord Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to give us life, He said, and to give us life more abundantly. The Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth through the virgin's womb, literally born of a virgin. No man had part in His conception. God placed Him in the virgin womb of Mary. And then He was born, and it even records in Luke chapter number 2 that Mary herself calls the Lord Jesus Lord. It talks about calling Him a God and deity. He is the virgin-born Son of God. And He lived on this earth for 33 and a half years. He lived a sinless life. God manifest or revealed in the flesh. And He went to the cross of Calvary and He shed His precious blood for our sins. In that He died as the substitutionary death. In other words, He died in my place. And in yours. In that hour, in those 3 hours or 6 hours on the cross, in those 3 hours, the last three hours, He was separated from God. He was separated from God the Father. I don't understand it, but He was separated from God the Father. And the sins of the world were laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that time, He became the propitiation for our sins. That it means He was the satisfaction for the wrath of an almighty God. And He took our sins upon Him. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. That hour and that time on the cross, He purchased our salvation, literally suffering our hell for us. Consider that. And He did that for one reason, so that you and I might live. See, the choices are eternal death. You reject the gift of God and you die in your sins and you go to hell. Or you receive the gift of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, by repenting of your sin and believing on the Lord. It's as simple as that. And then He gives to you the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What a beautiful passage here. What a terrible thought to think that someone's treating their child like that. And there's a lot of applications we can draw from that. But we understand God's showing us a vivid picture of you and I and our sin. A vivid picture of this lost world. I hope it'll encourage you to think about, as the missions conference is coming up here soon, next month, the value of one. What a great passage to illustrate that. The Lord Jesus looked at this little girl and He didn't pass by, this man in this passage, He didn't pass by on the other side as the people did, as the priest and the Levite did in the parable of the Good Samaritan. They didn't pass by on the other side. No, He went down into the ditch and He fetched the man out. He fetched this little girl out to save their life. And that's what the Lord Jesus has done for us. He stepped down out of all the glory of heaven to be robed in sinful flesh, to save you and me, to seek and to save that lost sinner. And we praise God for that. What a beautiful passage, what a beautiful word there the Lord Jesus speaks to us when He passed by and He looked on us in our sinful condition. He didn't turn His face the other way and say, "No, you are too filthy for me to touch." Aren't you glad that when the Lord Jesus looked at you and looked at me and our filthiness, that He didn't say, "No, you're too filthy for me to touch"? Aren't you glad when He looked at us? "No, you're rejected. You're from an Amorite. You're from a Hittite. You're from a wicked people group. No, I'm not interested in saving you. I'm glad that you're dying." He didn't say that. He looked by and He passed by and saw us polluted in our own blood. And He had compassion on us. What a blessing. He had compassion on us in so much that He gave His life for our sins. I want to show you this before we go on. There's a picture in this little girl of us being sinners. There's in the picture of this man being the Lord Jesus Christ, but I want to show you in this man, I see another picture as well. It's amazing how the Bible shows you multiple things in the same passage. I see a picture of you and I on the other side of the ball, so to speak. We were sinners, and when Christ saved us, we became a part of His family. We were saved by the grace of God. And I see in this picture, not only a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, but I see a picture of the soul winner. Picture of a soul winner. We talked about that a little bit in Sunday school this morning in that class I was in, and enjoyed that very much. Talked about soul winning. But we see a picture of the soul winning in this is the way that we ought to be in a lost and dying world. When we look by, when we pass by and we see people polluted in their sin, you know what? The first thing many times when I see somebody in sin, we ate at the place at breakfast this morning, we saw people come in and just, you know, I don't really want to say it, but a woman looked like a man, and all those filthy things. My first response is, how filthy and how rotten and how wicked. But you know what? God loves that woman. God wants to save her soul. And if we do what God wants us to do, He wants us to be witnesses to them too. We need to be like the Lord Jesus when we see those people in filthiness. And remember, of course, the Lord Jesus wasn't there, but we need to remember that one day that was us laying in the ditch. That was the one day that was us polluted in our own blood. And thank God the Lord Jesus didn't pass us by, but He reached down, so to speak, and He said, live. Thank God there was a soul winner that looked at me and looked at me and all my filthiness one day and all my wickedness. I was a 16-year-old young man without hope and without God in this world. And folks, I sat right down here where you young people are. Look at me real quick. I sat right down here. Right after I got saved, I sat on this front row in the front section of the church that reached me for the Lord. It's just where I was. I'm not glorifying sin. But I sat right up here the first service I came to church in an AC/DC t-shirt. Because that's where I was when I got saved. That's all I had. I didn't have church clothes. They reached me for Christ, and I came in and sat right up here because that's all that I had. That's all that I knew. I came to church, and I thank God for that. I'm so glad that that man, Andrew Smith was his name, so glad that he looked at me, and he looked at me and my sin, and I'm sure he knew some of the things I was involved with. He knew I was a rough kid. He didn't look at me and think, man, I don't want that kid coming to my youth group. I said, man, I don't want him sitting in my Sunday school class. No, he reached out to me, and he came to my house on a Saturday morning, and he shared the gospel of Christ with me at 16 years of age, and I repented of my sin on that Saturday morning. I turned from my sin, and I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and Christ saved my soul. I'm so glad he didn't turn the other cheek. I'm so glad that the Lord Jesus didn't. I want to encourage you, if you're saved today, let's go out. I go into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. So go out and find these people, no matter what they look like, no matter what they smell like, no matter what kind of sins they're involved in, let's try to win them to Christ. Wouldn't it be something if we'd see some of those people, like the Bible says in the book, I think it's 1 or 2 Corinthians, and we'd see some of those people that we're looking at today thinking, my goodness, how wicked and how evil, sitting among us as saved, blood-washed believers. And one day we can look back and say, just like you and I can say, and such were some of you. You remember that passage? Talks about you were adulterers, and some of you were effeminate, and fornicators, and idolaters, and all these different things. It says, and such were some of you. That was me, right? And that was you before you got saved. But now are ye washed. Now are ye sanctified. Praise God for that passage. Praise God for the truth of the Word of God. So we see in this passage a simple picture. This little girl, a picture of the lost sinner. Helpless, dying in her own blood. We see in this picture a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ and how He came to save us from our sins. And we see a secondary picture there, a picture of what you and I ought to be like as believers, soul winners, going after the lost and dying world. I want to encourage you in this. The story doesn't end there. You follow in verses 7 through 9 of Ezekiel chapter 16. We're wrapping it up here. Verses 7 through 9. This little girl became his by adoption. He adopted her. It says, and thou becamest mine. He uses what tender language. I tell you what, there's nothing more precious than a little child, is there? Absolutely nothing more precious in this world I'm talking about than a little child. And it says this for this little child. He took her and he said, thou becamest mine. She wasn't his by birth, but he adopted her into his family. Again, what a beautiful picture of what the Lord Jesus did for us. He adopted us. He washed us of our sin and adopted us into His own family. Romans chapter 8, verse 15 tells us we've been adopted into His family. She became His by adoption. Notice this later on. It's an interesting picture that this little girl later becomes this man's by marriage. So He adopts her and takes care of her and raises her. And then one day she became His own, a picture undoubtedly of the bride of Christ. Adopted into His family when she was washed from her sin and then becoming the bride of Christ. What a beautiful thing that is, and a beautiful picture of what Christ has done for us and a picture of the local church. Just want to encourage you today with a couple of things, and I'll turn the invitation over to Brother Newport. But I want to encourage you with a couple of things. The first thing is, which one are you today? Are you this little girl? We were all there one time. You may be saved today. But remember, let's remember where we came from. But maybe you're here today, you say, I don't know that I'm on my way to heaven. I don't know Brother Aaron, I don't know if I am lost in my sins. I don't know, maybe I'm that little girl today. I am polluted in my own blood. I'm polluted in my sins. I need to get that right today. God, show me today that I am lost and undone, and today is the day of salvation for you. That's what the Bible says. Get it right today. Don't put it off, because you might not have another day. You might not have another hour to get it right. Turn to Christ today and be saved. You'll never be sorry. I've never been sorry that I trusted the Lord and He saved my soul. Never been sorry. Is that you here today? Maybe what Christ is speaking to us about in this passage is we should be more thankful for what He's done for us in purchasing our salvation and stooping down and cleansing us from our filthiness and adopting us into His family, making us a part of the local church, the bride of Christ. Or maybe God's speaking to us today about being a better soul winner. Maybe God's speaking to us today about going and reaching Samaria, so to speak. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, unto the uttermost. Samaria was a part of Israel there, where it was a mixed group of people, and the Jews hated the Samaritans because they were a mixed group of people. And so I think when talking about Samaria, we can talk about the geographic location. I think there's a very real application about going after trying to reach those who are not like us, those who are different than us, those who smell different than us, and those who look different than us, those who have a different culture than us, those people who maybe are unpleasant for us to be around. God says reach them with the gospel too. God wants to, maybe God's speaking to us about that today. But anyway, there's a few simple challenges for you today. Whatever God's speaking to you about, maybe it's not something I've preached about at all, but maybe the Holy Spirit is working on your heart about something. I encourage you to respond at the altar or in your hearts, however you usually do that. We'll pray and turn the invitation over as He sees fit there. Father, thank You for Your love, and thank You for the sacrifice of Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank You, Lord, for these pictures, this picture of this little girl, showing us so plainly and so clearly how we are in Your sight as lost people. Thank You, Lord, that when we put our faith in Thee, that You will wash us from our sins. We were polluted in our own blood and without hope and without God in this world, yet You have saved us, Lord, and You have washed us. You have made us clean, made us a part of Your family, Lord. What a beautiful thing. Lord, help us to do our part, to go out and reach others for Christ. Bless the missions conference coming up, and I pray all of this would stir us to be diligent about the service of God here in this local church and the work of church planting in America, and the work of missions around the world. In Jesus' name, amen.